grateful this morning for your presence. We're grateful this morning for the gift that you've given us, the gift of grace, the gift of salvation. Where would we be if it were not for the Lord? Where would we be if you hadn't come and rescued us and delivered us and set our feet upon a rock? You're that rock, Lord. We thank you this morning, my God, that you have come and you have filled our cups even this morning. I pray this whole weekend, since yesterday, God, we've been in your presence in the regional meetings. And my God, also, my God, last night and then to this morning. Father, I feel your presence, God. I feel that you want to do something very special here in this place. And I pray, oh God, right now that you just fill our hearts right now. Father, let every preconceived notion, my God, be removed from this room right now. That every single thing that distracts us, my God, anything that might distract us, my God, may it just be put aside right now. That our minds be fixed on the things above and not the things below. That our hearts, my God, would be open, my God, to what the Spirit of the Lord says to this region here this morning. We give you praise. We give you glory. I just want to say one more prayer for my wife, God, for her sisters and her brother. That you'd minister to them, God. All the grandchildren, all my daughters, and all the grandchildren, my God, of Olivia. Receive Olivia to yourself, Lord. Father, she's ready, God. She's saved. Her heart belongs to you. I just pray, God, that outward shell that she's in, that's just an outward shell, God. Her spirit lives on. And Lord God, with that, you have the blessed hope that we believe in. Father, we thank you. And we give you glory this morning, God. We pray, my God, you sustain them even now, my God. And this whole week, my God, it's been a very tough week, a long week. But Father God, as she goes home, I pray, oh God, that you receive her, that you administer to the family. And thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord one more hand this morning. And before I have you be seated, you know, I'm not the only one having a birthday this week. I know that Siobhan had a birthday this week, and amen, say happy birthday to her, amen. And then today is Gary's birthday, amen, our head usher. He's older than me, amen. So it's good to have. I like to keep people around. You know, Joanne, she said, Pastor, is that why you keep me around? Because she's only a couple of days older, but you know. It's just like, you know, keep you around, sister, because, you know. But I want to thank you guys. I know there's been a lot of birthday blessings already, and I know we're going to have a blast a little bit later on. But I'm excited. How many of you feel like God really did something powerful last night? Yeah. Amen. And Shell, man, she brought the fire, and Pastor Renee, he brought it. This morning, man, our gang regional, amen. I mean, you see how the Lord progresses, and things progress and grow and continue to grow, and it's natural, in God's order of things, it is natural to grow. It is natural to things to progress. And what happens a lot of times when we're not growing, there's a reason why. Amen. There's a reason why. And we don't want to stunt our growth. And even our summit here, how many believe that we could double this next year? Amen. That's a good crowd. Don't get me wrong. I'm sad for the crowd. But how many of you know two or three people that are not here that could be here? Amen. I want you to go, and don't be mean and don't make people feel bad, but I want you to tell them you missed out, man. Even tomorrow at church on Sunday morning, tell them, hey, I didn't see you at the summit. What happened? Oh, this happened. Or, oh, my dog got a flea, you know, or you know, there was a game. Go, there's going to be more games, you know. You could have come to the summit. You need the summit. You need this. There's something happening. There is a strategic intention of why we gather in the beginning of the year at our regional summit. So to tell a few people tomorrow, you know, at church on Sunday when you're greeting each other, hey, how you doing? How's everything going? How you been? Good. Hey, man, I didn't see you at the summit. Oh, well, this happened. Man, you missed out, man. Tom, you missed out. But you know what they can do is they can listen to the podcast maybe later on, and they can get a hold of it and maybe still get a hold of it. Because we don't want them to miss out. Some people have to work and some of that. But how many of you know that we're believing for our region to expand, to elevate, and to grow? We don't want to see our region the same. We want new churches. We want new leaders. We want a fresh touch upon our region. That's what we're believing for. Why? So that we can complement and we can be a blessing and we can be a sower into our international vision. How many know that the Victory Outreach is a very important and crucial and vital part of the body of Christ, man? I want you to know something right now, that God has strategically put the ministry of Victory Outreach. You know, last night when I got home late. We were we're in the green room, man. I had some good food and fellowship with the pastors and leaders there. And then when I got home, it was late. And after I got everything ready, I got my computer and I began to kind of tweak my message a little bit. And I was looking, and right as I was doing that, boom! All of a sudden, TBN. And who else shows up on TBN? All my pastor's face just shows up. Treasures program. Him and Pastor Sonny Jr. both. And I'm just sitting there watching that. And everything I'm writing, I'm typing, he's saying. So you know, we got to do this. And God's really called us around to reach our treasures out of darkness. And I'm reading like that. And then he's saying that. I'm like, wow. And I just put the thing down. I just listened to it. And it was a story about Sister Christina from San Diego about the, she used to be a madam. For those who don't know what that is, she was a pimp. She was a girl pimp. And she was mean, man. She used to beat people and everything. She's tough, you know what I mean? But her whole story was so powerful, and I watched that whole thing, and I thought to myself, I don't know if we realize, do you realize what you're part of? This is on the worldwide TBN, and they continue to show what God is doing through our ministry. Do you understand? I know that some of you had just come, man. Some of you in the home just barely drove up, and you're trying to get a hold of things, just trying to get all. You think you're here to get off of drugs or alcohol, but you're not here for that. That's just a byproduct of your sin. God's going to deal with your sin. He's going to raise you up, and some of you are going to be out there in other cities preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't even know it yet. You got set up by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn to two people and tell them, you know what, God's getting ready to do something. You better be ready. And then you can be seated this morning. Thank you, guys. Hey, let's give it up for this amazing worship team. Can we do that as well? Wow, man. God's been using them all weekend. I want you to take your Bibles and open the book of Judges chapter 2. I'm going to speak a message today that I was ordered to preach. One of our elders spoke at our just recent elders and multi-region regional meetings in Mexico. And, you know, I'm very involved in those meetings and part of the setup and all that stuff. But I sometimes I'm working and don't get to hear every message and be focused on every message. But for some reason, you know, this week I was able to, everything was running smooth, and I was able to hear every message, take good notes. And then also I was able to hear the mandate. And one of the mandates that Pastor Saul, one of our elders, one of the longest-lasting members of our ministry, he's been around with Pastor Sonny for 48 years. He preached. What I'm going to speak today is inspired by him, but much of the notes are from him. Because he said, I want you as regional pastors to go back to your regions, and when you gather with your regions, did he not say that, Pastor Renee? I want you to preach these messages that you're hearing this week. Because they're vital for the future health of our ministry. And I took that to heart. Because, you know, I'm a military man. I came from the military. I was 6 years in Navy CB. But he was a Marine. And when I hear somebody with that authority, that he's an elder, first of all, in our ministry, one of the top elders. But then also, when I hear him give a mandate like that, an order, I want to just pop tall and obey. Amen? And Judges chapter 2, and we're going to read a few verses, starting from verse 7. And the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua, and the leaders who outlived him, those who had seen all the great things that the Lord had done for Israel in the desert and coming out of Egypt. Verse 8 says, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land he had been allocated at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that generation died, another generation, everybody say another generation grew up who did not know the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. Woo. Heavy duty, man. If you think about this verse, I want you to think one more time what he says here in verse number 10. after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge, my Bible says, and your Bible says, did not know the Lord or remember. Some of your Bibles might say, another generation who forgot the Lord. The positive was that they had seen what God had done. They had heard what God had done. The negative was they forgot. You know, we have a tendency to forget very easily. It's really weird because some things we have selective memory for some things. You remember who hurt you, who burned you, but you don't remember who did good for you. Come on, somebody. A lot of times we remember, man, who messed us up, but we have a tendency to forget who blessed your life. Like I said, this message is inspired by Pastor Saul's message, and his message was, we can never forget what God has done for us. We can never forget what God has done through us, for us, not just for us, but through the ministry of Victory Outreach. Listen, God, when nobody else wanted you, that your pastor trusted you. When nobody else was looking for you, you found a place that accepted you. It didn't matter how you smelled. It didn't matter how you looked. It didn't matter what you thought before, what you had done. When you finally told them and were honest and said, this is who I used to be, will you still accept me? They looked at you and said, you're what we've been looking for. See, we've got to value that. You can never, ever lose the value of grace and the value that God has given you, the gift of salvation. Sometimes we have to go back to the basics. Sometimes we got to move back and say, Lord, we got to go right back and evaluate what God has done, because we have a tendency. I said we have a tendency to forget and lose sight of what God did in our lives. If you ever find yourself being ungrateful, if you ever find yourself not being thankful anymore or thinking you're something you're not, remember where you were at when you came in. I'm not saying live there. I'm not saying we should try to make people feel that way, because that's not where we're at no more. But you gotta look back. Take a look at a picture. Take a look at some of your things you wrote down at one time and look and say, man, I was lost. I was tore up from the floor up and beat up from the feet up. I was so messed up. Man, my head was all messed up. My mind was all messed up. I was unhealthy. I was dying. I was addicted. I was afflicted. I was on the verge of divorce. I was on the verge of losing my life. I almost was on my way back to prison, but then God came and interrupted my miserable life. And when you can take a look back there, that'll always keep you valuing Jesus. Value the cross. Value the Holy Spirit. Value this ministry. Value your pastors. Value your leaders. Value your brothers and your sisters. Value your family. Value what God values. You see, you can get very easily distracted by making a lot of money and being successful. There's nothing wrong with being successful. In fact, I believe that this part of this year's theme is that God wants to bring abundance to the kingdom of God. He wants to bring abundance to you, to your family. He wants to bring you abundance. But abundance can also bring peril. Abundance and prosperity can take you to a place where you begin to forget what it is to be hungry and to be thirsty. When you got too much sometimes, you don't know what it is to be thirsty. You just take a remember back when you didn't have enough to pay your rent. You think about it, you got to go back and think about it, man, when you didn't have enough to buy, you know, buy food or to eat or to go out and eat whenever you wanted. See, don't get so distracted so easily. And don't forget, if you want to put a title to this message, I'm going to title it just like Pastor Saul was saying, don't forget. Don't forget the Lord. Don't forget people who've been there for you, and don't forget this powerful ministry was there for you. Amen. Now, there's so many people that have not listened to this advice. There are literally thousands and thousands. You heard Pastor Renee talk about it last night, where many, many people that, you know, you reach out and they're someplace else and don't realize that, you know what, God had brought them right here, but the devil came and ripped them off, man. And some of them are dead. Some of them are dissatisfied. They go to churches and they hide themselves. I talk to people all the time in a big mega church. Say, I go there, Pastor, but I'm not in there, man. You guys are you're really my pastor. You're really my church, but my ruka goes over there and my family goes over there. So I'm just there and I'm all lost in there and I'm still messing around. They don't even know. So why don't you come back home? Why don't you come back home where you belong, then I tell them. See, what happens, we get distracted so easily. You know, the guy was doing it, was all messed up, fixing heroin for 20 years, came to the home, you know, ended up messing around, taking off, and then came back, and then went back, and back and forth. And then all of a sudden started getting together, got a job, started making 10 bucks an hour, then jumped to 12 bucks an hour. All of a sudden bought a brand new truck, then bought a new car over here, and then boom, boom, kids started getting blessed. And all of a sudden the kids now are experiencing the blessing like that, but they don't want to bring them around drug addicts anymore. You were a drug addict. You were the dirtiest drug addict. Dope fiend. What do you mean you don't want to bring around drug addicts? They're around you. Our drug addicts are not drug addicts, but they're ex-drug addicts, just like you. But, well, I want to raise them up in a different environment. Really? Like, what environment is that? Self-righteousness? Fake and a fraud? Like if you never had, you better talk about it. You better be free and say, you know, this is who I used to be. You know, I was stinky. I was a stinky sinner. Don't act like you were never a stinky sinner. You can wear long sleeves all you want, but you got old tracks, fool. Come on, somebody. You should be proud of where you go. Don't forget where God delivered you from just because you make 18 bucks an hour now. Don't forget that at one time you didn't have two nickels to rub together. Don't forget. And that's what happens. People have a tendency to forget. Fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on the vision. You know, when we were at the Victory Homes camp recently, Pastor said, Sonny said something that triggered what God was already speaking to me about for our local church here. We all kind of have local, like, themes for the year that complement the international. The international is relentless pursuit. But if I'm going to relentlessly pursue this vision and pursue God the way I need to do it, I need to elevate some things. I need to elevate my mentality, my faith, my thinking, my outreach, my prayer, my love for my wife, my love for my children, my love for my church, the love for the vision. I have to elevate every area of my life in 2019, because what got me here is not enough to get me there. And so when Pastor Sonny was up there, he was preaching about, you know, the homes, and about, he was talking about how God wants to use our homes and raise up leaders and starting new homes in the East Coast. And he was and then on a moment, I felt like a freeze in time, and he just got up there and he says, what we need to do is we need to elevate our vision. And I felt like an epiphany right there. I felt like a total, like you know, when your movie skips, and it like freezes and it skips and it freezes, going right back to the same thing. I felt like I heard him echoing, we need to elevate our vision. We need to elevate our vision. It was like a moment in time, and it jumped in my spirit. I think, Dave, you were sitting right there. I looked at you, and I said, I've been talking about elevation. And I said, there it is right there. That's what God, that was the prophetic word for our local church. And so I came home and brought that to our leaders and brought that to our church already. And I want to tell you in the region that, you know what, our region, God wants to elevate us. God wants to raise us up to not just be some little old region down over there in New Mexico, but that we would be a region that is literally part of the world vision. First of all, how you can do that is by doing what Pastor Pat said earlier. Today, do it today. I dare you to do this today. I want them to say, what in the world is going on over there? What happened this weekend? If everybody in this room would just register, get on here, just register $20. That way you can give people your link. at work and say, hey, sponsor me for Run for Hope, man. Well, how much? Sponsor at least 10 bucks. I guess the least you can do is 10 bucks. Sponsor me 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 bucks. Your boss, your friends, they always ask you for sponsorships. They always sell you. Their kids always sell you Girl Scout cookies. They sell you the long chocolate almond bars. They sell you little things that'll help you get off at this store and that store. And you buy them. Make them do it too. This is your cause. Amen? And what keeps us connected is to the world vision is by buying into it. And so I want to elevate our region in all areas. Let's elevate in United We Can. Let's elevate in our sending people to the UTC. We always have somebody in the UTC. Somebody's getting ready to go again pretty soon. Las Cruces just sent their daughter there. Come on, somebody. Let's elevate the way we think. Let's elevate our faith. Let's don't let nothing hold us back. It's a mandate for us. See, this year, Pastor Sonny is turning 80 years old. I was with him in the last month and a half, almost 2 months. I've been with him at least about maybe 20 days. 20 days every single day and night I've spent with him. Ate with him at least probably 10 times of those 20 days. Sat there at the table and ate with him and heard him. And he doesn't look 80. He doesn't act 80. In fact, when Jimmy's just kind of private, but I got to share it. Him and Nikki were together, and Nikki's sitting in my back of my truck there, and I'm picking him up, and we're coming from the airport, and we're rolling into the airport at LAX, and me and Pastor Sonny, we both have our shades on, real cool, my black truck, you know. We pull up, and we're going into LAX, and there's this mega amount of security. There's like they have roadblock. So we pull up to the roadblock, and the person, they looked in there, and they were looking inside there at the first car like that, and the next one, we pull up like that. They looked at us like that, and then they looked at each other, and then we're like this. Like that. Pastor Sonny goes, brother. He goes, we look like feds or what? I said, I don't know, Pastor. We got favor today. So we rolled inside there real cool like that. And the first thing he told Nikki is, hey, Nikki. He goes, just see Nikki. He goes, hey, they thought me and Danny were like feds or something. They just saluted us and went like that. And they started, like, fellowshipping and talking about. And all of a sudden, they started talking. He goes, okay. He goes, Nikki. He goes, Nikki's turning 80. It was his birthday. We were there. And he goes, Nikki's turning. You were turning 80, Nikki. He goes, we're getting to the end of things. And Nikki goes, hey, you speak for yourself, sonny. You know, he started, you know, his accent like that. And then I just heard them. You know, the whole time I was with them, that whole week, they talked about what God did. It was a setup for me. Because I'm just taking care of them. But I'm hearing it firsthand. Not from the book, not from the movie, not in testimony on the speaker, with the microphone on the stage. I'm hearing it in my car, hearing them over and over talking about, you remember that one time, Sonny, when we went over there, did the rally over there, you didn't know how to testify, and you went up there, you know what, I used to rob you guys. And they're telling all the stories, some of the stories I've heard before, but they were telling it over and over and over. The whole week I heard them talking about the past and what God had did. And I said, God, you're doing this? Because I have that picture up there of Pastor David Wilkerson, Nikki Cruz, and Pastor Sonny right there in the front so I can never forget our legacy and never forget how far we've come. But you know what? That's just a picture. And if you don't understand what really happened, then you're not going to value it. You're going to forget. When I go home to be with the Lord, and I'm not here to shout it out to you, you just might forget. God has used him to build a powerful, mega, global ministry around the world. Over 700 churches, homes in every single inner city around the world. God has used him just from a small beginning in Aliso Village in East L.A. to a couple of small churches in East L.A. to look what God has done around the world. I think one of Pastor's biggest fears is that this next generation, this beautiful third wave, might forget. Now, he's trusting in it. I'm telling you, he's put all his trust in the third wave revival. He knows there's nobody else. There's the pioneers, there's Joshua generation, and there's the third wave, there's the now generation, and he knows they are the future. He is gravitating towards them. He's pulling them closer. He's raising them up. His own grandson, Ryan, just took over the gang. My God, Ryan's on fire. They're raising up. They just made a shift of all the gang regionals and all the gang rep guys, they all move new people into those. He's looking to the third wave. But there's also a fear, not a fear, but a concern that maybe this third wave might start to dilute a little bit some of the things. We don't got to talk about David Wilkerson anymore. That's old. He's old. He was too rough. Don't you read his books? Have you heard his message? He was, too tough. We need to make sure people don't shoo people away. Well, you tell that to Jesus. You tell it to Peter. You tell it to Paul, the Apostle Paul. You tell that to David Wilkerson when you see him in heaven. I mean, I used to, when I first got saved, I lived on newsletters from David Wilkerson and messages on cassette tapes. And I used to finish those, I'd be like, the fear of God on me. One of the things that this generation, Devin, that you got to teach in the region here is that we can never lose our fear for God and never, ever, ever, ever lose that value. I would listen to those messages, and I'll never forget one time, that the only time I ever did any ministry on stage with David Wilkerson. I've been around him a lot, but I'd never been did ministry with him. And the night before, the day before, he was going to be speaking at our minister's meeting at the World Conference. That's about 1,000 pastors and ministers and licensed ministers. And so Pastor Sonny goes, who's leading worship tomorrow, brother, when David's going to be here? I go, I don't know, Pastor, but I will find out today. He goes, no, you know what, you do it. And I looked at him, I go, okay. Pastor, I think they got it together. They have a list of things. He goes, no, I don't care who they have. Bump them. You do it. I take us in, too. He goes, you know how David is? He goes, you better take us in. I go, oh, God. So then what I did is I didn't sleep all night. My voice was all messed up in the morning. I had to, drink some, I think I drank coffee in those days. So I drink coffee, try to warm it up like that. And I'll never forget. I got up there, and the same feeling I used to have when I'd read the messages and I'd see him, I'd be like, my God, I need to get right with God. I'm so not right with God. So I prayed all morning. The little bit of sleep I did, I got up all morning, and I prayed, and I tried to stay quiet. And so I got the musicians there early in the morning. I told him, you'd be there at 6:30. He goes, 6:30? I go, okay, 7. I go, 7, well, the call is 6, 7:30 call. I go, so, okay, 7 o'clock. So they got there, and I was so nervous. And then I go, we're just going to do a couple of songs. We'll do one fast song, one slow song. So I'll never forget, we did, I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. And so we did that. It came out good. But the slow song, I couldn't hear it. I was off. So I told everybody to start singing like that. And they were singing. They were, waiting for me to sing. I'm like, sing. So they started singing, and I finally heard it, and I worship, and we went into a place, and we went into a place of worship, and I'll never forget David Wilson looking at me, he goes, I feel the presence of God. And I was like, because I value, he was my spiritual grandfather. I didn't know him that good. The only time I ever got to do any ministry with my spiritual grandfather was a time I said, I don't want to fail, God. Then he said, you better depend on my anointing and not your talent then. Because that's the fear of this generation. See, here in Judges, we find that within one generation, and one generation is only 30 years. A generation is 30 years. So within 30 years of Joshua and the elders of that time dying, they forgot the vision. They forgot what God did in the desert. They forgot what Moses did when they came off the mountain with the Ten Commandments. The Bible says that they served other gods. Within 30 years, they were ungrateful, unthankful for what God had did for them. And they didn't even know who Joshua, much less Moses. Recently, Pastor Sonny was in Panama. He's always in Panama, but, he was recently in Panama about 4 or 5 months ago. They just actually were there again, and in Guadalajara. But he was there, and there's a big move in Guadalajara, by the way. God's gravitating. Guadalajara is going to become like a hub of Mexico. There is something happening in Guadalajara. The UTC just moved from Baja California to Guadalajara. Big things happening in Guadalajara. He's hot on that one. He's hot on a city, boy. When he's hot on a region, he's hot on it, you know. But he was recently in Panama, and he ran into the group of Team Challenge guys. They're all Spanish speaking. And he asked him the question. He goes, do you know about your history? And he goes, oh, yeah. I go, do you know who David Wilkerson is then? And they looked at each other. No. David Wilkerson founded Team Challenge 55, almost 60 years ago. How long did I say a generation is? Within 50 years, these people don't even know. Now, that's not everybody, because the other night I was speaking at Calvary for a citywide prayer thing we were doing there, and I said, what we need is a good old-fashioned revival like we had when David Wilkerson went to New York City and founded Teen Challenge and Nikki Cruz, and Teen Challenge was there, and they know because Pastor Robert, the director, he knew who they were, and he's taught them who he is, and they, it was a big old roar in the crowd, and so everybody else clapped. But these guys didn't know who the founder of the ministry that they're in. Can you imagine that? Imagine that for a minute. See, in this portion of Scripture, God was warning Israel. He was warning them, don't forget what I've done for you. It'll keep you. And this morning, region, Rio Grande region, this is a warning. Not just to the third wave, but for those of you that are becoming very successful. Because you get successful and it gets to your head. You start thinking that you're all that. You know no more. You know? There's always that antic in the homes. Well, I'm not a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic and I'm not like you. So I'm talking to you right now. Those of you that think like that, you're self-righteous and it's stinkier. Because you know what? Who crucified Jesus? Yeah, we did, but who did it? It wasn't all the crazy bandits and all the gangsters in Jerusalem. It was the religious folks. It was the ones who thought they were better. The ones that thought they didn't smell. The ones that thought they were all good and all this and all that. They're the ones who shouted, crucify him. And everybody else just joined in. Of course, we know he died for all. We all killed him. We all caused him to go to the cross because of our sins. See, after Joshua died, the elders made it a little bit past that. Pastor Saul was breaking it down how they lived a little longer. So they still kept on saying, and you know, Pastor said he's going to be 80. So I told him, Pastor, he goes, brother, he goes, I'm 80. He goes, and I go, how long do you think I got? I go, I don't know, Pastor. I go, 20 years? He goes, no, 20 years? That'll put me at 100 years old, brother. I go, I'll still drive you around, Pastor, if 100. I'll still be there for you, man, at 100. But he goes, I don't know about 100. But, you know, like some of the elders are younger, obviously. Some of his son-in-laws are elders, you know, Al and Joe and, of course, then Pastor and Junior. And so these are, they're younger guys. That, you know, they're in their 50s, so they can stay longer. See, what happens is that Joshua dies, and the elders stay a little longer. And still, even though they must have shouted it from the rooftops, even though they must have preached messages about, let's never forget that when Moses came off that mountain with the Ten Commandments, Joshua, our leader, was right there with him and helped him carry him down. And he was right there when Moses, you know, they must have preached those messages. They must have. But they still forgot. See? After they died, there was another generation that didn't know the Lord. It's not so much that they didn't know the vision. They didn't know God. And the thing about it is what good is it if we know the vision if we don't know God? We need to put God first. If you have God on the throne of your heart, you will have no room for any other gods. And the vision will be easy for you. But if you don't have God on the throne of your heart, this vision is too hard for you if you don't have God in your heart. See, this vision is powerful. There's nothing wrong with this vision. This vision is powerful. Oh, well, it's too much. It's nothing wrong with our vision. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your heart if you think this vision is too hard. It's not too hard. It's perfect. It's what God designed in the heavens long ago. He said, I'm going to pick a young guy, a young dope fiend from New York City. I'm going to pull him out of that Brooklyn area, out of that Williamsport area. I'm going to pull him out. I'm going to put him in a home called Teen Challenge that doesn't even exist yet. One day there's going to be this skinny white little preacher in the hills of Pennsylvania. He's going to be praying and crying out for a revival. And he's going to make his way into New York City and into the courtroom and start fighting some drug addicts and some gang members. And he's going to start getting a hold of God, and he's going to start a ministry. And in that ministry, there's going to be a young gang member by the name of Nicky Cruz, a notorious killer, who's going to get saved. There's going to be a drug addict, a heroin addict, who is Mama Argonzoni, been praying for, and he's going to get delivered and set free. And I'm going to send him to East LA to Bible school, and he's going to meet a woman, a missionary-minded, passionate woman named Julie Rivera, and she's going to meet with him, and they're going to get married, and they're going to start a ministry, and it's going to be a movement that goes all around the world. See, I can preach that. We can hear that preached in our churches, but what about in 30 years from now? That's why I'm here to warn the third wave. Yeah, you can shout out third wave revival all you want. But if you don't got what I just talked about in your heart, then 30 years from now, everything you preach, that generation that grows up may not know God. They might say, oh, it's too hard in this ministry. I want to gravitate towards a place because I don't feel comfortable. I feel too convicted. My goodness. I don't want to be someplace where I don't feel convicted. I don't want nobody just, you know, patting my flesh. I want to feel like, I went to go pray for people, but I really wanted to be at the altar call. It's a good message last night. See, after they died, there was another generation that didn't know God. Imagine that. First generation, they saw miracles. They saw that first generation in Egypt, before Pharaoh let them go, they saw the Nile filled with blood. They saw frogs, plagues. They saw all kinds of stuff happen before their very eyes. They saw Pharaoh, the greatest leader in the world at that time, say, okay, you can go. Have them. Get out of here. They saw, after 400 years of captivity and slavery, they saw the hand of God move when Moses looked at Pharaoh and says, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And he had to let them go. He had to let them go. They saw the Red Sea open. They saw it open up with their own eyes. They walked on dry ground across the Red Sea. And when they were done on the other side, they saw their enemies drown and their chariots perish. They saw it with their own eyes. They saw water come out of rocks. They saw food fall from heaven. It was like snow falling in heaven, and it made piles. They didn't know what to call it, so they called it manna. And they made little pancakes every morning, fresh. When they got sick of that, and they complained to God, because, I mean, sometimes we get very, very, after we eat for a while, we're like, oh. I don't know about you, man, but I grew up on beans and rice and Jesus Christ and papitas. And we had other food, but those are my, I still gravitate towards beans and rice and Jesus Christ. I still gravitate towards papitas because those are my favorite foods. But it's like these guys got tired, so they're like, that's all we have. So what did God do? He gave them quail. Have you ever had quail? You know how good quail is? You know how expensive quail is? You know how hard it is to hunt? I used to hunt quail. Quail is delicious, man. It's like all white meat. It's like a little mini, the tastiest little baby turkey you could ever have. It's so good. Quail, you get quail at a restaurant. It's as expensive as a steak. They got quail every morning. And yet they still complained. They still cried out. They forgot. They saw the mighty miracles. And the second generation that was growing up amongst them, they saw it. They were taught it. They also saw the disobedience of them. They knew the difference. But there was a third generation that rose up, the Bible says, when Joshua died. There was a third wave revival that was supposed to move forward ahead of. And look what happened to them. See, this generation, this is how they knew God. It's like everybody, is there anyone in here remember who the very first president of the United States was? What's his name? You all know who that is, right? You learned that, right? But did you know George Washington? Do you ever think about George Washington? Only when it's a cherry tree or whatever like that, right? There's little things that set off. We don't know George Washington. See, this generation, this is how they knew God. They knew of him. They knew the history. What about you, gang? Do you know God like we know, like the generation, the ones with that we had to be desperate, the one where I had a gun in my mouth about to commit suicide and God came in and rescued me and we cried and wept. Do you know God like that, or do you know him like you know George Washington? David Wilkerson's old school. Nikki. Why are we going to go see Nikki? Nikki's been around 60 years already. What could he preach? Why do they have him preach at the gang? We don't need him at the gang. We need like Futrick or one of them dudes, you know? See, you only know David Wilkerson and Nikki Cruz like you know George Washington. Why don't you watch The Crossing the Switchblade? See, I watched it. It's so, oh my God, it's so old. It's so like outdated. Really? It is outdated, but there's still the elements of drug addiction, gang activity. Watch it and watch the anointing. It's like even watching Duke of Earl. Say, Duke of Earl, why are you going to watch? That Duke of Earl is so old school. But when you watch that thing, you're like, come on, what about love? God's love? Well, Pastor Ed's up there, all young, big old Vigo. What about God's love, huh? You can handle a fight, right? And you're all you're crying because the anointing's on it. The reason why those were made is so we can remember. That doesn't mean they're so relevant. It doesn't mean they're all perfect. They're not for now, but I'm going to tell you something right now. It's good to look back and see where you came from. If you can't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going. This generation didn't know God. They heard the stories. It motivated them. Man, they were already in the promised land. They had it made in the shade, man. They lived in houses they didn't build. They drank water from wells they didn't dig. They had it made. They didn't have to believe God for the miracles. The miracles were all they were enjoying the promise now, the fruit of the promised land. Huh? They weren't desperate for God. That's the way it is. When we're not desperate for God, we forget. So I say this: you should always stay desperate for God, so that way. You don't have to, like, be made to be desperate for God, like through a trial. Because if you don't get desperate for God, eventually one day you're going to have to be desperate for God. You should just stay desperate for God. Now, I don't have time to read it, but Joshua chapter 24, if you read the whole, 24, the whole, that's the one where the quotation, the famous quote of, as for me and my house, in verse 15. But if you read it from the beginning to the end, it tells you the whole story of the warning. Tells you how Joshua told everybody. Listen, everything I've been telling you about what they went through and how God delivered them, he tells them the whole story. He tells them everything that God did. And he says, you know what? If you want to serve the gods of your fathers, those false gods, you go and do it. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he makes that proclamation. Never forget. See, God had warned them, and this is the warning. He even said, you know what? He goes, this stone right here is going to be a witness against you. Because they all said, no, we won't. We won't forget, man. We're going to stay on the cutting edge. We're going to stay because they know he was getting older. And the Bible says then he died at 110 years old. But right before he died, he reminded them. He said, don't forget. So by the time Joshua and the elders had died, these guys had already forgot, man. That's why leadership's crucial. Maybe what happened is they didn't maybe raise up enough leaders. We need elevated leaders in this hour. We need the gang not to just be talented and be able to do things on stage and preach and sing. And we need leaders that can disciple people. We need leaders that can disciple people with the unadulterated Word of God. Not with a watered-down version, but with the Word of God. We can't dilute God's Word, and we can't dilute the vision. We can't dilute what God has done, and we can, just so it can be relevant. You don't need to be relevant. God's already relevant. The Holy Ghost is relevant. The Spirit of God is relevant. The Word of God is always relevant. You don't have to make it relevant. It's relevant for any time, any season, any people. Don't forget, there can be peril in prosperity. It can be easy to forget. There was no struggle for them. They had everything. Remember, the promised land had the best fruit, the best vegetables, the best cows. I went to the promised land. I've been there to Israel. I'll never forget, they drove us up to the dairy farm. And the dairy farm, those cows were like about this high, about this wide, and their milk sacks were literally so big that their legs would do this. I'm not kidding you. All of the cows, their legs were like that. They weren't standing up straight. They were like, their milk sacks were all the way down. The fruit, I'll never forget. Seeing the different fruits. What's the name of the one, the fuzzy one, the real fuzzy fruit? Kiwis, like that? Figs. Huge figs. Usually you go buy figs, they're like this. Huge figs. The grapes, I knew what they talked about. The grapes were huge. They were like the size of like size of plums. And sweet. And I also went to Jericho. I never forget going to Jericho. And they took us right to this area. It looks like an like a bunch of dirt everywhere. It looks like the west side someplace, like a dig there. We went over there like that, and they said, look at this. They had dug it. Look at right there what you see. There's different layers of the dirt where Jericho has been rebuilt and rebuilt and rebuilt. And as you go down lower, there's this one thick, real dark, real like ash, like just like gray and black ash all the way across. He goes, that right there was the walls of Jericho when they marched around and the walls came tumbling down. It said, some people think they fell over. He goes, but that's not what happened. The true story of it is that they like disintegrated, like fire disintegrated them. And it compacted. He goes, and what you see there is what used to be the walls of Jericho. They're still there. They can still see them. But they don't believe. It's like history. Huh? Come to the keyboard if you could, would you? See, it became easy to follow other gods. As long as these strong leaders were alive, they remembered. But the moment they died, they began to forget. We the elders, the multi-regionals, and the regional pastors, we made some commitments at this last meeting that we're not going to let this vision die, man. And the third wave, I trust that they won't let this vision die. I feel like we got good. But our concern is for the generation beyond you guys. If you're not, if they're fluff leaders, fluff and puff, and just, I want to make people feel good all the time and want to be liked. You got to be able to tell the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. You got to preach the truth of the Word of God. The generation of the gang has to be, the third wave has to be exactly that third wave. Because if it doesn't have the anointing, in that wave you'll drown. Pastor Sonny knows not to ignore history. He also knows that our humanity and how we got to protect our future, man. We've got a good thing going. There's no other ministry like our ministry in the world. I'm not saying we're the only ministry. It's the best. For me, it's the best. But I mean, there's a lot of great ministries out there doing a lot of great things for God. But man, we're special, man. We got a unique ministry. If you really think about it, it's unique. We're not just a church on Sundays. See, many of those that are now in the mother church in Chino, they didn't see Aliso Village. Most people didn't see Aliso Village, except the kids in the apartment. Those 14, 15 men living in an apartment with them. They didn't see the Hacienda House where they lived, where all lived together, except maybe Linda. You were at the Hacienda House, right? How many years ago was that? 1978. 41 years ago. She was at the hacienda. So she saw. But none of you saw. You didn't see it, Devin. Pat, you didn't see it. You hear of it. You didn't see it. She saw it. She probably got baptized in the swimming pool there. Right? That was a swimming pool. He used to baptize people in the swimming pool there. You cleaned that house. You know who bought that house? The owners of In-N-Out bought that hacienda house from Pat Sonny. They're Christians. They saw the need and they gave them a good price for it. They knew they had to go to the next level. Nobody, a lot of people didn't see that. People didn't see, you know, St. Louis. When I was a pastor, Sonny, before we picked up Nikki, we went into East L.A. We went to this famous little spot called L&B's. If you don't know, you don't know. You should know. And we went to L&B's. Before that, we went to St. Louis Street. And he showed me the old church because it's an old police station now. We went to Glass Street. I hear what he preached in those messages, but I didn't grow up in that church. All I hear is here, but he took me there. He showed me this is where it all happened. Danny, don't ever forget. Then we went to Allen B's to the favorite spot. He's been going for 50-some years and got some burritos and took one of Nikki, and Nikki loves them. We ate them. And he goes, is there any more? I go, no, we can go back and get some more. He goes, man, you could have brought another one. We had a blast talking about history. The people in the Victor Auchino right now, the way they see a beautiful building, brand new, beautiful pavement. Oh my God, the fence outside. We're going to have it like that too outside there one of these days. How many know we already have the money for that too? Did you guys know we have the money for that? We have all the money to do that. There's only one problem. It's in your pockets. Got to get it from you. We'll have it though. It's going to be there. You guys got it. We're going to get it. We're going to do it. See, they didn't see Montebello High School. You see videos of Pastor with the lamb chops, with the people checkered suits like that. You know, you got to walk that walk and talk that. You know the video where everybody says that. You see it, but no, they weren't there. They didn't see that. They didn't go to La Puente when La Puente looked like a war zone, like something exploded and he fell in love with La Puente. Kind of like the way I fell in love with this place. Kind of like the way my dad fell in love with 905 Atrisco. Look at this beautiful place. It wasn't beautiful, right, Mom? None of you guys got to. You guys that live in the home, you live there, but it didn't look like that when we were there. The whole roof was completely gone. In fact, the very first service, the next service had to wear hats. Because the first service, it was infested with pigeons, and guess what pigeons do? So the ladies the next week, they went to the hat ministry. You didn't see that. All you see is this place. See, the people in Chino and the mother church, they didn't see the international club where they used to have to go in the morning early the night before and clean it up and mop it around because it smelled like a... It was a bar. It was a club. Alcohol, cigarettes, you know, in those days you could smoke anywhere. So it smelled like a bar. And they had to clean it up in the morning. And that was... They had church in the morning and people would probably walk in and say, what is that smell? People didn't see that. All they see is the Chino church, the mother church, the La Puente campus. They didn't see that. They didn't see the way it looked when they fixed it up. But I saw it. I saw it right after they fixed it up. I got to see it with the multi-purpose. Then I saw the tent. Then I saw the big three, almost 4,000 seat auditorium go up there. I saw us outgrow that place. I got to see that. They see a beautiful church, but they didn't have to sow into it. They didn't have to dig the wells. Locally here in Albuquerque. Like I said, you didn't see 905 Atrisco. You didn't see... First time we went to Five Points, not the big dome, the small little corner. We saw miracles that we saw blind people receive sight. We saw cancer healed. We saw a lot of gang members come in. I'm talking a lot of gang members came into that first Five Points and got saved in that building. Not all of them took, so some of them still played around. They went to prison. Still some in prison for it. But a lot of you didn't see that. You didn't see when we went to Varela's. Have a revival. We had a revival at Barilas. We grew to over 400 people in Barilas. 400 people in our church. You didn't see when we outgrew that place and had to go to the big Five Points dome and see our church to go over 500 people, launching out churches left and right. You didn't see that. You weren't part of that. You weren't part of the sacrifice of supplying finances for the people to go out. You weren't part of the sacrifice of having building funds. Many of the people in our church, they come and enjoy this building right now, but they didn't sell out in annuities. They didn't take loans out. They didn't get their whole $5,000 tax return and give and sow it all for a pledge. But there was a lot that did. You weren't at Real Grand High School when we had to go on a journey for 9 years. We lost hundreds of people. You weren't there at Westside Community Center setting up back. But some of you were. But a lot of you weren't. You didn't see when we were at Charleston thinking that might be our promised land. God said, don't know. Lead Street, thinking that was going to be our promised land. Invested tons of money in those places so we could fix them up, make them look good. We put so much money into Five Points, into Varela's, so much money. You weren't there when we sacrificed, bought land and couldn't build because of the economy crashing in 2008. You weren't there. It's okay. It's all right. You walked right into the promise, and that's just fine. Some of the homes you didn't know, you don't know. All the sacrifices have been there for the past 33 years. March 6th will be 33 years this ministry has been existing locally. Many of you didn't see the early revival, but how many know there's a new revival coming? Victory Outreach International is going to experience a revival like never before. This third wave God is going to use to do things we've never seen before. Bigger and better than we've ever seen. But you know what? Don't count out Albuquerque. Don't count out the Rio Grande region. Don't count out Española. Don't count out Deming. Don't count out Las Cruces. Don't count out El Paso. Don't count out Santa Fe. Don't you dare count out Roswell or Hobbs. Don't you count out Farmington. Don't you count out these cities that God is crying out for us to go to. Don't you count out Miami. Don't you count out New York City. Don't you count out Buenos Aires, Argentina. Don't you count out these places, because God's about to do something He's never done before. A new revival that's coming. It's a fresh revival that is coming. You didn't see those early dope fiends when I first came into the church, and there was 45 guys and everybody had a bigger mustache than the next guy. Everybody was all inked up. They all looked the same. Every dope fiend looked the same. 45 just trying to get a hold of God. You didn't see all those church kids get saved and get raised up. You didn't see those dramas filled up at the stadiums. Many of you hear of it, but you didn't see Duke Stadium, which is now Isotopes. You didn't see the football field, UNM, the Lobo Field, packed out with 16,000 people. But I don't forget, if God could do it then He could do it again. The fact is, will you believe? Will you sacrifice? Will you be satisfied? Or will you say, no, let's get this party started, Rio Grande region. Never forget what God did. As long as I'm alive, I'm always going to remind people. I don't care if they get offended or not. Oh, that's the old school. See, all you see is what you see here. You weren't there to give and sow and hurt and do without. People sold their cars. Never forget, Sister Tilly came from San Jose under a great leader, Pastor Ed, and Sister Mitzi. Never forget that. She came. She moved here for work and her family. The first couple of services she was in, we were picking up building funds. And I preached a passionate message about buying in and sowing into our future. The next service, she came in. She brought her car with the pink slip. It was a paid-off car. $6,000. She sold it. She said, here. I go, you live in Santa Fe. How are you going to get to church? She goes, I don't know. I'll figure that out later. She goes, God spoke to me and said, give the $6,000 to you. $6,500. And the list goes on and on and on of people. She moved. Her job took her to Florida. And we didn't have a Victory Outreach in that area. She didn't care. She still sold. She to this day, she's so excited. We sent her pictures. Sister Ophia Bumkuba, Dr. Ophia Bumkuba, she showed up to our church from one of the churches in California. And she, the Bible talks about women like that. Huh? There's a lot of women like that that supplied for the ministry of Victory Outreach. the ministry, Jesus' ministry, just the same way like Victory Outreach. There was a bunch of widows, a bunch of ladies that rose up. She rose up and she said, on one of those days, she goes, I make a pledge for $10,000. Like, wow. You know what she did? She went and sold her annuity. She had an annuity for her retirement. She took it out and she gave it to the building fund. That's why you're here today. Because you know what? You're enjoying it. You're enjoying the water from a well you didn't dig. Other people dug it. But there's a lot of you still here. I remember when you came with a sacrificial your sacrificial offerings. I remember. Barb remembers. We remember. You got to remember. The big question I have before I close is, what does this generation think of our past, our ministry? Yeah, we weren't perfect. We made a lot of mistakes. We've done a lot to change that. Is it mean like, oh, it's old school, it's boring? See, generally people don't like history. But the first generation shed a lot of blood, sweat a lot of tears. This generation has to have a pioneering spirit. I said something last night. I want to retract it. I just want to shape it a little different. Is that I'm not a pioneering generation. I was a Joshua generation. I'm not the now generation. I'm the Joshua, and I love that generation. But every generation has to have pioneers. This gang, the third wave generation, Pastor Mitchell said at the meetings there when he preaches, the third wave has to become innovative and creative, and they have to have a pioneering spirit. They might not be the pioneers, but they have to have a pioneering spirit. And the next generation beyond that has to have a pioneer. If we keep a pioneering spirit with the ministry of Victory Outreach, if the Lord tarries another 20, 30, 40 years, listen, we'll be reaching drug addicts in space. When it comes to this generation we live in, it can be very easy for your children. Remember, those children died. Those children, their parents died, their children were left. They saw the miracles, they forgot. We need elevated leaders. We need leadership. We need discipleship, good old-fashioned discipleship. Sitting around, cup of coffee with your Bible and the vision, saying this is what you need to do. Character, death before dishonor. We need to train this generation. We need to train passionate leaders for the future. Leaders who depend on the anointing, not their talent or Google. You know what happens to a generation who forgets? They get distracted. They lose the vision. You know what happens after the main leaders start dying off and going home to be the Lord? The key is people, there's nobody to remind them unless they've raised up a new, fresh group of leaders. This generation that grew up, they were descendants of those who got it delivered, and they still forgot. What changed that generation? Simple. They forgot. What about you? Make a commitment today to never forget. Israel was faithful to God as long as leadership was still alive. Sometimes some of you, you're faithful to God as long as your director's still right there. As long as your youth pastor's right there. As long as your Bible study, you're faithful. But the moment you get off a little bit, and you wonder, wow, they're bugging you. Why do they keep on calling you? Because they know you. That's why. They know some of you. When you stay away, you're probably playing. Huh? Don't get distracted so easily. Relentlessly pursue God, His purpose. We've got to elevate our vision and elevate our hearts. Our churches can do better in Victory Outreach, Rio Grande region. We can do better. We can build bigger churches. We can grow. We can expand. We can still pioneer. We can still discover, guys. We can still be used to do mighty exploits for God, but you can't forget where God brought you from. Don't forget what God can do. Everyone who's a part of Victory Outreach should know our history, pastors. You should never, ever, ever stop teaching the history of what God has done. You have to be part of securing our legacy. And this group right here, this new group, has to experience your own miracles. Everyone. Think about it. If your life was so good, you wouldn't need a God. But our lives were no good. And there was nothing back there, right, Charles? Ain't nothing back there. What, you got 23 years in now? Can you imagine trying to go back? Ain't nothing back there. See, the Bible says that Jesus called people forward. One particular man he called forward and he says, hey, let me go and my family business. He goes, family business. He goes, if you're plowing the ground, you look back, you're not fit for this ministry. He told another one, he said, let me go bury my dad, man. He says, man, let the dead bury the dead. It sounds kind of cold for a minute. Doesn't it sound a little cold? I mean, it's the same Jesus who went out of his way to heal the Roman soldier's daughter, Jairus. Jairus' daughter. I mean, he loved people. He raised people from the dead. Jesus was focused on people. Remember, he wept bitterly at Lazarus' grave. Man, he loved people. Here, Jesus is saying, let the dead bury the dead. Here, he's saying, say, you know what? You're not even fit for the kingdom of God if you want to look back. What happened to him? You know what happened to him? Is that his mind shifted to Jerusalem. His mind shifted to the cross. And he had all those people in his mind, but by the way of the cross. See, Jesus never got distracted from his mission. His mission was always the cross. It was never just hanging out. It was discipleship, and I got to go now. And his mindset was focused on the cross. If you keep focused on the cross, if you stay focused on the mission, on the vision, the vision of Victory Outreach is leading people to the cross of Calvary. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, we want to be a people that never forget. We want to be a people who always remember how good you are. And even for those that haven't had this generation, many of them have not went through the addiction. Many of them have not had to be desperate. But may the Spirit of Christ, may the anointing of our legacy fill their hearts so that they would always value what you have done in our lives. I pray, God, that today, that we would not walk away from this summit without making a commitment to never forget. I'm going to ask in the name of Jesus for those here today that God has spoken to you all weekend and spoken to your heart this morning. As they begin to sing this song, I want them to sing it strong. And I want you to come. I want you to fill this altar. I want you to meet me right here at the front. To step out of your seat and say, man, even you leaders, I want you to come and I want you to make a commitment this morning that you're not going to forget. That you're not going to lose sight of things. That you're not going to get distracted by trials. And you're not going to get distracted by success. That even if you grow into a mega church, you will not get distracted. Oh,
ready and willing.
Forget.